You know, the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says. How many of you ever been in a flood? They're devastating, aren't they? They destroy everything. Floods will, water will find a crack, it'll find a hole. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, floods are devastating. It's one trial after another. It's one, come on, I'm talking to somebody. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. One thing right after another. You ain't even caught your breath from the last flood, and you got another one, and there's another one, and then there's another one, and it's one thing after another. Come on, somebody. It's one thing after another on your life. And when the enemy comes in like that, and it's like a flood on your life, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. That's what this church is. You hear me? We're going to raise up a spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to lift the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you about this morning how to recognize or just to see what it looks like to be under a spiritual attack. Do you feel like you're fighting a battle that's getting the best of you? Anybody in here? Feel like you're fighting a battle. It's just getting the best of you, beating you up. You feel limited? You feel hindered? Do you feel unproductive? Come on. Come on. You feel unproductive? Does it feel like some invisible force is trying to squeeze the life out of your dream? Right? So, like some invisible force is just trying to squeeze the life out of your dream, squeeze the life out of your marriage, choke the spiritual breath out of your walk with God. Does anybody feel like that in here this morning? Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're in a spiritual battle. Say amen. Amen. The battle is very real. The devil is very real. The devil is very real. He would rather us ignore him and pretend that he doesn't exist and just talk about good things. Come on, somebody. That's what he wants us to do. Is act like he don't exist and just talk about all the good things. And the truth is, people are under spiritual attack like never before. Amen. I'm telling you, families are in crisis. And you know what? You cannot win a war if you cannot recognize the enemy that you're in battle with. Amen. I said you cannot win a war if you do not recognize the enemy you're battling against. You can't. How are you going to fight it? You don't know what it is. Amen. I feel like what you're going to hear today and what I'm going to preach to you this morning, because many of you are in a spiritual conflict. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is going to give you the power to outlast that spiritual battle you're in. Amen. It's going to outlast that spiritual battle that you're in. Everybody say the struggle is real. Oh, some of y'all don't believe. Everybody say the struggle is real. Oh, the struggle's real. Come on. How many of you feel like you've been in a spiritual battle? And I know I asked you, but I want to, because listen to me. I want to spend the next few weeks, all right? I don't know where this is going to go, but I know we're going to spend the next several weeks talking about this. We're going to spend the next several weeks talking about spiritual warfare. We're going to spend the next several weeks talking about the armor of God. We're going to spend the next several weeks talking about tormenting spirits. We're going to talk about the things that are coming against this church, because the enemy wants nothing more than for us to throw in the towel and quit. Amen. Say amen. Because when you throw in the towel and quit, then it's over. You know it's never over till you quit. Amen, church. So I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the warning signs. You know, just like in the natural, when somebody is having a heart attack, they have taught us that you can see the symptoms, you can see the warning signs before the big one hits, right? They have taught us that, and that's what we need to see in spiritual attack. We have to understand the warning signs before it gets out of hand, amen? Amen? Before you get in bad shape, before you have to have a heart transplant, come on. You can avoid a lot of pain and a lot of suffering if you can recognize a heart attack the moment you feel the symptoms. Come on. Right? You can save yourself a lot of pain and a lot of suffering if you can just recognize the symptoms and the warning signs, and then you get help immediately before it gets worse. Your spiritual attack is the exact same way. And some of you, as we go through this morning, you're going to realize and you're going to recognize that you're under a spiritual attack this morning. You are. You're going to see it. You're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it. Number one, the first point I want to say to you, that when you're under a spiritual attack, watch this, you begin to have a loss of spiritual desire. You begin to have a loss of spiritual desire. Amen. This is a real sign. When you lose spiritual desire, when you just want to quit. I've been there. Yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you been there? You just want to quit. You have no spiritual desire left. You just want to throw in the towel when you're doing what you're doing out of duty and not desire. You have a loss of spiritual desire. You do what you do out of obligation and out of duty, but you have no desires for what you're doing. Look at Psalm 1, verse 2. It says, the blessed man is he who delights in the law of the Lord. Not just does the law of the Lord, come on somebody, but he delights in it. He delights in the law of the Lord. You're not just doing it out of duty and obligation, but you delight in it. It's your desire. It's your desire. Look at Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Listen to the words of David right here. He said, so pants my soul for you, O God. He said, my soul longs for you. You following me, church? That's desire. David said, my soul. He said, I'm longing for you. He had an incredible desire. Desire, the Apostle Paul said, is the sincere meat of the word. Come on, somebody. It's the sincere meat of the word. Right? Come on. It's desire for this book. It's desire. It's what Paul was talking about for the sincere milk of the word. But when you're under spiritual attack, you know you have no desire for this word. When you're under spiritual attack, talk to somebody. They don't get in their Bible. They ain't listening to worship music. Come on now. They're under spiritual attack, and they have no spiritual desire. You begin to lose the desire for spiritual things. Come on. The passion begins to leave. Your fire begins to leave, church. The desire for that intimate relationship with God, that is one of the sure signs. Say amen. That is one of the sure signs that you are under a spiritual attack. Now, we all have times, listen to me very carefully, where discipline has to kick in. Four of you got some discipline in your life. There comes a time in our life where discipline has to kick in. That's why the first 15 to 20 minutes of your day getting in this word right here is so important. You're not under a spiritual attack, you're lazy. I said you're not under a spiritual attack, you're lazy. This is where discipline has to come into your life, amen. This is where you get into this book, 15 to 20 minutes a day. It's very important. The word of God is what? The wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. Amen? You got to get in this book. But there's also, listen, when the attack comes, that you have no spiritual desire. It's a warning sign. If you can say, I can miss church 2 or 3 times a month, and it not bother you, then you're under a spiritual attack. If you can say that I can miss church 2 or 3 times a month and it not even affect you, and it not even bother you, that is a sure sign that you're under spiritual attack. It's very real for your soul. It is very real for your soul. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you miss church, come on somebody, the less you miss church. The second thing, it's kind of different. Listen to me, but it's the truth. The second way that you see you're under a spiritual attack, it's not only you have a loss of spiritual desire, physical and emotional exhaustion. Physical and emotional exhaustion. Watch this, it matters. It matters. The enemy loves to wear out the saints. Look what he said in Daniel 7:25. He said he would wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what he wants to do. He wants to physically and mentally wear out the saints of the Most High. Come on, somebody. He wants to exhaust you. He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear you down. He wants you to get frazzled. He wants all of your strength to be zapped out of your life. He wants you to give up. He wants you to get weary in well-doing. Come on, somebody. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to get weary in well-doing so he can just wear you out. But let me tell you something. If you don't get weary in well-doing, that's how you know you're under a spiritual attack. You're just tired. You're physically just fatigued. Come on, church. You're just physically fatigued. 1 Kings 19, Elijah had just come from his greatest victory. 450 prophets of Baal had been defeated and fire had fallen from heaven. Watch this. You are most vulnerable when you have just had a great victory or you're about to enter into a great promotion. You are most vulnerable, church. This is very important. When you are coming off of a great victory or you're about to enter into a great promotion, that's when the enemy will hit you the most. When you come out of a great victory, something great has happened, and now you're just kind of in a lull or you're in a down, you know, from that high. Watch your leisure time. Watch your leisure time, church. Watch those times after a great victory. And then another time that the enemy is going to attack you is just before you get a great promotion. Just like he did Jesus. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the enemy attacked him immediately. He had just got a great promotion. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the enemy said, attacked him immediately. He was tempted immediately. Amen. After a great victory or right before a great promotion, you're going to get attacked the most. Amen. So physically, watch this. Elijah was exhausted. And God sends an angel. Yeah. That's what I said. Send me an angel. I'm tired. Woo. Elijah fell asleep. And the angel woke him up and said, arise and eat. I've prepared you a meal. An angel cooked this man a meal. Y'all realize he's laying there sleeping. An angel shows up and cooked him a meal. This is amazing to me because apparently Elijah, he just wasn't eating right. Come on. He wasn't eating good. And the angel said, arise and eat. He didn't say arise and go to a conference. He didn't say arise and get in a good prayer meeting. He said, arise and eat. Arise and eat. I understand you're a physical being. He said, you may have a spirit that's eternal, but you carry your spirit in a physical body. And if your body gets weak, your body is the vehicle that carries your spirit to wherever God wants it to go. And if the enemy can attack your body, he can get to your spirit. Come on, somebody. If he can get you exhausted and get you weak and get you beat down, then he can touch your spirit. Thank you. Four of you got it. Oh. If he can get you beat down and exhausted, then he can touch your spirit. Do you realize that? That's what he wants to do. Beat you down, get you exhausted, and he can touch your spirit. Watch this. Watch this. 1 Kings 19:5. The angel said, arise and eat. You see that? An angel comes down and makes him a meal and says, arise and eat. I've cooked you a nutritious meal. You look hungry, Elijah. Arise and eat. And one way the enemy wants to defeat us is, you know, we just start eating all crazy. Come on now. We act like that's not spiritual. We act like that's not spiritual. And I'm not talking about just eating here and there and enjoying a crazy meal. Come on now. I'm not talking about every now and again and just, but what I'm talking about is in general, when you let your eating get out of control and everything you're eating is fatty and everything you're eating is full of starch and everything you're eating's got grease in it. You know, I read this the other day that a muffin was designed so you wouldn't feel guilty for eating cake for breakfast. They designed a muffin so you wouldn't feel guilty. Hey, I got to stop for 1 second. Can I call a timeout? Can I call a timeout in church? Because I just hit a squirrel right in my head and I just got to say this. I'm not ever going to be able to preach any longer if I don't. Today's Noah's birthday. Happy birthday, Noah! Come on! Sorry. I am so sorry. I seen him sitting there. I was like, oh, that's his birthday. Listen, we fill our bodies with sugar. Amen. We fill our bodies with starches. We fill our bodies with junk. And we act like it don't bother us. We act like this stuff shouldn't bother us. Come on, church. But the enemy knows if I can wear you down physically, I can touch your spirit. Amen. Amen. Come on. We have to rest. He was so tired, y'all, that an angel cooked him a meal and fed him. And then he went back to sleep. Can you imagine if an angel made you a meal and you just roll over and eat and it's like, good. And he just rolls over and goes right back to sleep. Like it's normal. Like it's just everyday stuff. It's like, I got to move on. Keep on moving. An angel cooked him a meal. He ate it and then rolled over and went right back to sleep. He was tired. Thank you. You got my point. He was tired. Come on. Amen. Listen, the third thing. Come on. What you do with your body, you know that. It's a sign you're under spiritual attack. Somebody needs to hear this because half of y'all didn't raise your hand this morning. What you do with your body is a sure sign that you are under spiritual attack. You're just physically worn out. You have no spiritual desire in your life. The next one, watch this, is a lack attack. It's a lack attack. What's a lack attack? You can be under spiritual attack when your resources start drying up. All of them. At the same time. All of them at the same time, y'all. That's a spiritual attack. And I'm not blaming everything on demons, all right? Let me be clear about that. Not everything is a demonic attack. Please don't give the devil too much credit. Come on, holiday shoppers. Come on, holiday shoppers. Say amen to that. You can't rebuke them bills. You got to pay them. I said you can't rebuke your bills. You got to pay them. Come on now. You're not using your faith when you write a check and believing that God's going to supply it. That's not faith. That's a felony. That's not faith. That's a felony. Come on, church. I'm talking about when you get in a lack attack and everything starts drying up at the same time. The car breaks down. The refrigerator breaks down. Your husband breaks down. Come on, somebody. Your air conditioner breaks down. Everything breaks down. The whole thing, listen, the enemy wants to do is put your eyes on money and get them off of Jesus. Amen. He wants you to become so opportunity focused. You got to listen to me. The enemy wants you to become so opportunity focused and oriented instead of trusting God, because not every opportunity is from God. Say amen, church. Amen. Not every opportunity is from God. The enemy wants you to get focused on money and not trusting God. It's a lack attack. It's a sure sign. It's a sure sign. Watch this. Here's another one. It's when the enemy hits you with a prayer attack. It's another sign that you are under a spiritual attack. Listen, Matthew 26, the enemy has said he wanted to see if Peter is weak. Jesus told him, said, I prayed for you and invited Peter into a personal prayer meeting. Watch this. He said, pray with me. And he fell asleep. He said, pray with me. And Peter fell asleep. And Jesus said, can you not tarry with me? Listen to these words that Jesus said to him. Watch this. He said, watch and pray. Why? Why? So you don't enter into temptation. Watch and pray, he said. Why do you want me to watch and pray, Jesus? That you enter not into temptation. I want you to understand this very clearly, church, that prayer is about helping you not enter into the temptation. Prayer is not a gift. Come on now. Prayer is not a gift. Some of you think that you have the gift of prayer, and some of you think that you didn't get it. Amen. Prayer is not a gift. It is a discipline. I said prayer is not a gift. Prayer is a discipline. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. You just do it. And then when you decide to pray, the enemy is going to attack that prayer. I mean, the phone's going to start ringing. You turn the ringer off, then it's going to sit there and start vibrating. And just about the time you get up and go pray, you're starting to go to your prayer place, and all of a sudden, here comes two Jehovah's Witnesses riding up to your door on bicycles as you're getting ready to go pray. And then about the time you go to get in your car, you run out, the cat ate the fish ate the dogs, they run off, everything's gone crazy, you're just occupied, you don't got time to pray, you don't. That is a sure sign that you are under a spiritual attack. Amen. Because it's just, when the enemy comes in like a flood, amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, church, the devil knows if you won't pray. Listen to me very carefully. The devil knows if you won't pray that you will fall into temptation. That's what he told Peter. Pray with me. Why? So you don't fall into temptation. Come on now. So you don't fall into temptation. That's what prayer is. What was Peter's temptation? His temptation was to rely on the flesh. That's why when somebody came to arrest Jesus, he didn't pray. Remember, he pulled out his sword and cut somebody's ear off in Jesus' name. Come on. Because he didn't pray. He wasn't prayed up. He's trying to handle things carnally. Amen? He entered into the flesh. He tried to handle the problem in the flesh. But what happens? Is if you don't pray, you start acting in the flesh. You start cussing people out. You start telling people off all the time. You start giving everybody a piece of your mind. Come on now. But when you pray, church, you don't enter into that. Thank you. When you pray, you don't enter into that temptation. Amen. You got to watch on your lips. You got to. God filter. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all need that. That's all you get out of this. You have a watch on your lips. The Holy Spirit does. You prayed. There's a caution. You know, there's something that just kind of pulls you back a little bit if you've prayed. Right? You don't just start getting all crazy. You're prayed up. If you don't, listen, that's a sign you're under spiritual attack. When you're not prayed up, you're consumed with worldly power, not the things that come from God. You're consumed with worldly power. Listen, a DEA agent stopped at a ranch in Texas, and he talked to an old rancher. And he told this rancher, he said, I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs. And the rancher comes up and he says, okay. He says, you go ahead, but don't go in that field over there. And the rancher looked at him and he says, you don't know who I am. I am a federal agent with the federal government. And he pulled his badge out of his pocket. He said, you see this badge right here? This badge gives me the authority to go wherever I want to go, on any land I want to go, no questions asked, no permission given. The old rancher said, okay, no problem. A few minutes later, he hears screaming, and he hears hollering. And that rancher's out there working, and he looks over in that field, and he sees that federal agent running for his life from that rancher's old St. Gertrudis bull. And he's running from that bull. And the rancher throws his tools down and runs over there knowing this federal agent is going to be killed. He's going to be gored to death. And that agent's running and screaming, and the rancher runs over and says, "Your badge. Show him your badge." When you ain't prayed up, when you ain't prayed up, come on now. Number five, listen to me. Listen to me. When you begin to feel overwhelmed, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you know you're under spiritual attack. Somebody needs to hear this one. Somebody needs to hear this one. When you're feeling overwhelmed with every, let me tell you something. The word circumstance comes from two words, circle and stand. Amen? The word circumstance comes from the word circle and stand. So to be in a circumstance is to be standing there encircled by issues. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're circled with all the issues. Have you ever felt like you've just been encircled by problems? Come on. Oh, I'm the only one. Y'all are liars. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Come on now. Talk to me, church. Thank you. Have you ever felt like you've just been encircled by all these issues and all these problems and you just don't know the way out? You're under spiritual attack. Amen. You just don't know the way out. I don't know what to do. You're under spiritual attack. To be overwhelmed, to be surrounded. You know, it's almost like you feel like, what's the use? Right? There's no way out of here anyway. You feel overwhelmed. You feel paralyzed. Here's a huge sign. Listen to me very carefully. That you're under spiritual attack. Old sins start returning. I'm fixing to punch one of you. This one's going to get you. Stuff you got victory over years ago. Listen to me. You know you're under spiritual attack. Stuff that you got victory over years ago. Years ago. And this stuff just starts coming back in your life. This stuff just starts coming back and all those old sins start resurfacing. If it was nicotine, if it was drinking, if it was drugs, if it was pornography, it was something in your old life. One of the surest signs that you are under spiritual attack is when your old sins start to resurface. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. It's when this stuff starts to resurface and you're starting to want to go back to them. Come on. You start dabbling. You start wanting to go back to it, and you start doing all this stuff, and then you start explaining it in your own mind. You go back to this stuff, and then you explain it. Can I tell you, be careful facing them old sins again? The Bible says in Matthew 12:45, when an unclean spirit, watch this, when an unclean spirit leaves, it comes back with seven more spirits to see if that house is clean. Listen to me very carefully. The enemy will always attack you at the last place he was successful. Thank you for that rousing applause. The enemy will always attack you at the last place he was successful. So the old sins are just a sign that the enemy thinks you're weak in that area. And he's going to just keep trying to hit you. And he's going to keep trying to hit you in that area that he thinks you're weak in. You're under spiritual attack when you feel yourself going back to old sins. Amen. Amen. Going back to what you know. That's what Peter did. Going back to what you know. Before he got in the boat, he was with some of his disciples. And you know what he said? He said, "I'm going fishing." What he was saying is, "I don't know if Jesus is alive or dead." He said, "I don't even know if Jesus is alive or dead right now. I don't know what's going to happen to my life. I just sowed 3 years of my life into a man who may or may not be who he says he is. So you know what I'm going to do? What I know how to do. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I know to do." He was under attack. Peter had lost hope. Come on now. He was under a spiritual attack. He had lost hope. He wasn't sure of the direction. So he went back. He went back to what he knew. I'm telling you, no matter what you do, don't go back. Everybody say, don't go back. I said, I'm telling you, no matter what you do, don't go back. God said, don't go back. I don't care if you're lonely. God got you out of that relationship. Amen. Don't go back. I know you're struggling financially. Don't go back to that job. He delivered you. You didn't get let go. You weren't laid off. He delivered you. Don't go back. Don't go back to that mindset. Don't go back to the things that the enemy has already freed you from. Don't go back to that place. Everything God has for you is in front of you. He has nothing good back there. Hallelujah. Everything good that God has for you is in front of you. Everybody say, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Whew. Discouragement is the soil that sin grows in. You're discouraged. You're feeling overwhelmed. You want to go back. Discouragement is the soil that sin grows in. Here's another huge one. Pulling away from godly relationships. Pulling away, I want you to take a look around you. There should not be an empty seat in this place. I don't know why people don't want to come here and get freedom. Because they pull away from godly relationships. It's a sure sign that you're under a spiritual attack, church. That you're pulling away from your godly relationships. What do you mean? When you try to stay away from saved people and church people and Christian friends. And you feel more in common with people in the world who are lost than you do with folks in the church? Come on. Not that we're not to have friends. Not that we're not to be a friend to sinners. I'm not saying that at all. But there's something wrong with you when you feel more comfortable with them than you do with people of covenant. It's a sure sign. It's a sure sign. We're to be friends with sinners. We're to be there with them. Before you get under a spiritual attack, you were on fire for God. Amen. Before you got under your attack, you was on fire for God. You were crazy. I see some of y'all in the grocery store, you're like, glory to God, Pastor Jamie! From Al 3. And I'll be like, I'm over, like, I'm embarrassed for y'all, man. I'm like walking around, y'all was crazy. He's like, hey! Now I see you. Now I see y'all, you're ducking behind the cereal. It's because you know you ain't living right. It's because you know you ain't living right. I like to find them people too. I like to find them people, y'all. I go walk around Meijer looking around, usually starting the wine section. Usually go over to the wine section and start looking for them. See any of my old congregants? Where's my old parishioners at? Some of y'all used to go to Restoration Church, didn't you? I'm playing. Listen, when you begin to find enjoyment through carnal methods, church, I want you to understand this. You're under a spiritual attack. Everybody ought to have a life. Everybody ought to be balanced. You should enjoy your hobbies. God didn't save you to make you a piece of church furniture. Come on now. God didn't save you to make you a piece of church furniture and all your whole life is one dimensional. It's just church, 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 church. That's not it. You ought to have fun. You ought to have a fun time with your family. You ought to have fun time with your friends and all that. But that stuff can get out of hand. Amen. Well, you're looking for life and you're looking for enjoyment. You're looking for stimulation through carnal methods. Amen. You got to run to another sale. You got to go to another shop. You got to run to the ball game. Run to the show. We're going here this weekend. We're going to the beach. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. Amen. We're going to the mountains. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. You ought to be balanced. But when it's every weekend and you're doing it just to feel something, just to feel alive, you used to get that from the Holy Spirit. Come on. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to one of y'all who didn't raise your hand. I'm talking to one of y'all who didn't raise your hand at first. You used to get that stuff out of the Bible. You used to get that feeling from the Holy Spirit. It didn't take a sale. It didn't take you buying this, buying that, doing this, doing that. But carnal things begin to replace your life source. Amen. Carnal things begin to replace your life source. I've got 11 minutes left, and I'm using every one of them. I'm just telling y'all. I'm telling you. I see y'all getting antsy. See a couple of you. Y'all ain't leaving until I dismiss you. Come on, I'm playing. Listen, I want to tell you something. When carnal things become your life source, because when you do it, you feel something. When you go to the races, you feel something. See, you used to feel that in church. Remember when you first got saved? Remember that? Then you start breaking out those old records. Because when you hear them old songs, shake, shake, shake. Shake it. Y'all act like I don't. You break out them old records. You start flirting with all that. Takes you back to when you were young. Come on, I'm preaching a lot better than y'all letting on this morning. I'm working hard up here today. You looking back on that old lifestyle? Making comments like, well, at least when I was in the world, I had sinner friends. I had me some friends. They were sinners. Come on, Lord have mercy. You was running with fools. You was running with fools. You also broke, you couldn't even buy your own drugs. Y'all had to pitch in to get a bag of weed, y'all was so broke. You was running with fools. And those friends wouldn't even come around you if you lost everything, and they wouldn't come to your grave if you overdosed. They ain't your friends. These people won't even come to your grave if you overdose. You out there running with fools. Come on, somebody. You got selective memory. Jesus found you. Jesus found you and saved you. Jesus redeemed you. Jesus called you. You better quit looking back on your old friends and your old lifestyle like it was better. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Come on, somebody. Shout about it. Shout about it. He set you free. Woo! Turn to somebody and tell them Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Tell them. Tell them. Act like you believe it. I tell you, I'm not, there's nothing to go back to. Come on. Jesus come and saved you and brought you out. So what do you do? Here we go. I'm wrapping it up. And then we're going to end with a song. Amen. We're going to end with a song. Praise Jesus. So what do you do? How do you fix it when you're under a spiritual attack? Thanks for asking. How do you fix it when you're under a spiritual attack? This is huge. And I want you to understand me. This is for encouragement. I want you to get this in your spirit, church. Do you hear me? Can I just give you a couple more? Can I give you a couple more? Is that all right? I want to give you a couple here. Then we're going to end with a song. When you're under spiritual attack, always remember this. You're made to outlast the storm. When you are under spiritual attack, always remember that you were made to outlast the storm. Everybody say, I've been made to outlast the storm. Come on. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there were two builders. A wise builder and a foolish builder. Come on now. The foolish builder, he built his house. Listen carefully. The foolish builder built his house with the whole mindset that a storm was never going to come. So he built it on sand. The foolish builder built his house with the mindset that there would never be a storm. That nothing would ever come. But the wise builder built his house on a foundation of stone. And when the storm came, the weak house fell. But one of the houses that was built to outlast the storm, say amen. And if your life and your family are built on the rock of Jesus Christ, he has out. Come on. He has built you to outlast the storm. If your life and your family are built on the rock of Jesus, then you are built to outlast the storm. Amen. Come on. I don't care what the enemy's bringing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you're built to outlast that storm. When the storm is over, when the wind has ceased, when the rain has stopped, you will still be standing because you're built to outlast the storm. Man. Can I tell you something? God built you with the storm in mind. He knew you would be going through the attacks you're going through right now. Amen. God built you, listen to me, children, with the storms in mind of your life. You have been built to outlast the storms. Amen. He built you with the storm in mind. Hallelujah. So whatever you're going through right now, before you ever got into this, he put a foundation in you. He put a foundation in you that will not break. It will not bend. The foundation will not be shaken. When you're under spiritual attack, watch this. I'm almost done. When you're under spiritual attack, don't forsake the power of partnership. This is so huge. This is so big, guys. So big. Power of partnership. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, the Bible says two are better than one. For if one falls, he can't help himself get back up. But if there are two, if one falls, the other can pick him up. The Bible says if any two shall agree, it'll be done. It's the power of partnership. The scripture says that one can chase 1,000, two, 10,000. That means three can chase 100,000, and four can defeat 1,000,000 demons. It's the power of partnership. It's the power of partnership, church. So important. The redwood trees in California are amazing. They're some of the largest trees in the world, and they grow, these trees grow up to like 300 feet in the air. And they have roots that only go down about 3 feet. Have you ever seen that? Redwood trees grow up to be about 300 feet in the air, and the root system is only about 3 feet. So how in the world? See, listen, most trees, if they grow 70 feet up in the air, then they have roots that go down 70 feet in the ground, and that's how they stand through the storm. That's why a palm tree is so powerful, right? They found palm trees, seriously, look it up. They have found palm trees with roots that go down in the ground, some of them up to a quarter mile, half a mile long. Seriously, look it up. They have found palm trees that have roots. That's why you see them bend but not break. Come on, somebody. That's why you see them bend but not break. They bounce back. Not because the outward is strong, but because the roots are strong. So here's the point. The redwood goes 300 feet up in the air, but his roots only go 3 feet deep. So how in the world does it suffer a storm and face the onslaught of a storm and not topple over? Can I tell you the answer is found in the root system? Look at this picture right here. So what happens is they said the roots of the redwood, it goes about 3 feet deep. And then it spreads out and it finds the roots of other redwoods. See? And they intertwine. And then they link up together. And now instead of the wind blowing against them and one isolated incident, right? The tree's not fighting all by itself. It's blowing against the forest. Come on, somebody. And I won't let you go. I won't let you go if you don't let me go. And I won't let you go. I want you to pray for me this week. And then you pray for my family this week. And I won't let you go. And I prayed for your family last week. And then you pray. And that's what happens when you're intertwined and you're locked up in the storm. Now watch. Now here's what's beautiful about this. Here's the beautiful thing. The park ranger that has said this, he said, I can take you to redwoods that are in this forest that have been dead for years. They've been dead for years. And the only reason they're still standing is because the trees wouldn't let them go. And he says, if there's just a little bit of life, if there's just a little bit of something left in them, I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to hold him until he comes back to life. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Come on, these guys are redwoods. He's not full-grown redwood yet. He's coming. Come on, church. Come on, church. That's the power of community. Amen? That's the power of a church being planted in a community. Amen? A tumbleweed. You're not a tumbleweed. A tumbleweed is rootless and fruitless. It blows in and blows out on Sunday morning. You're not a tumbleweed. Church, we're rooted and planted. We're redwoods. You get rooted. Get grounded. Get in small groups. Get in something. Get into youth group. Celebrate recovery. Kids ministry. Get into something. Get hooked up. Get intertwined with other believers of faith. Come on, church. And when you go through stuff, listen to me. You don't face it alone.